Amen. Well, I want to talk to you today about the Sermon on the Mount, the series that we're doing, Living in the Kingdom. Today's lesson is Kingdom Treasures. Jesus tells us that there are treasures that we can enjoy that will give us a blessed life. There are treasures that we can have, and He calls them treasures in heaven. He calls those things that we can have and enjoy right now that take us into a supernatural kingdom. He calls those things treasures in heaven. And if we can keep our focus correct, and if we can keep our focus where it needs to be, on the kingdom, and Jesus is about to start talking about if the eye is good, then everything is good. If your focus is good, if what you're looking at is good, then everything is good. But if your focus is bad, then everything is bad. And so what I really want us to start doing is making sure that we're focusing on the good. Is that okay? Jesus says that when you do it that way, life's good. And you can enter into a supernatural kingdom, and you can enjoy life to its fullest and to its most abundant place. So here's what He says concerning these treasures. Matthew 6:19 says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, because they're going to rot, they're going to rust, or somebody's going to try to take them from you." So, is it that God doesn't want us to have good stuff? Is that the deal? Is it that He doesn't want us to have nice clothes? Well, Jesus had nice clothes. Right? I mean, they were so nice that they gambled for them at the cross. He dressed nicely, so that couldn't be the case. That couldn't be the situation. Is it that He doesn't want us to have nice stuff? You know, cars and nice houses? Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God wants us to have wealth. In fact, what God does for us is give us abilities so that we can get a lot of wealth. Let me show you this scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. It says this, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He." It is who? It is who is He? It is the Lord your God. It is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. How about that? "And so confirms His covenant." He loves us so much, He's going to confirm His love and His covenant in us by giving us wealth and giving us ability to make wealth. God wants us to be wealthy. To confirm His covenant, it says. He wants to do that in us, which He swore to your fathers as it is today. He's always been that way. This isn't something new. This is something that God's always wanted His people to do. He wants people to have wealth. No place in the Bible does it say that wealth is bad, except for the love of it. When it becomes a treasure, when money or wealth becomes your everything, then we have a problem. It's a treasure that is laid up on earth. And what I'm going to be showing you is that treasure blocks your entrance into a supernatural kingdom where there is so much life and that there's so much abundance. Well, what about savings? Does God not want us to have savings? Huh? Well, that's not what He told the ant. He told the ant in Proverbs, He says, listen, you guys, you know, you guys are good. You know, you ants, you got it all figured out. In Proverbs 6:8, it says this, "Yet it stores," it is the ant, "yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." It's saving for cold weather, for bad times when there is no harvest. It's saving. God wants us to save. God wants us to have wealth. There is nothing wrong with us having nice things. There's nothing wrong with us having wealth. There's nothing wrong with us having nice things. And He also says, you know what? I want you to have so much that you can take care of your own family well. That's right. That's what it says. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." King James says infidel. God wants us to have wealth. God wants us to have savings. God wants us to have nice stuff. God wants us to have so much that we're able to take care of our family well. So it's not that things are bad. It's not that clothes are bad. It's not that money is bad. It's when these things become our treasures. See, the problem is the wrong treasure. The problem is that when anything becomes our everything.
when anything becomes our treasure other than the kingdom of God. It's when treasures take the place of God. When treasures stop us and interfere with our worship. When treasures interfere with our relationship with people. When treasures interfere with our relationship with Jesus or the Holy Spirit. When we would rather spend time with the treasure, help me somebody, than spending time with God, now we have a problem. Because that has just stopped our entrance into His supernatural and abundant kingdom. Somehow we deceive ourselves and we spend all of our time, and it's interesting about these treasures on earth, is that because we spend all of our time attempting to acquire them and attempting to get them, and then we start worrying about them, and Jesus is about to start talking about worrying. And we spend all of our time worrying about these things and getting anxious about these things and wondering how we're going to pay for these things. Yeah, and we think somehow, if we spend enough time with it, maybe we'll get to take it with us. And so I read a story, and I want to read it to you. I read a story this week, and it says this. An old miser called his doctor, lawyer, and his minister to his deathbed. They say, "You can't take it with you," the dying man said. "But I'm going to try. I have three envelopes with $30,000 cash in each one. I want each of you to take an envelope, and as they lower my casket, throw in the envelopes." Well, at the gravesite, each man tossed in his envelope as requested. But on the way home, the minister confessed, "I needed the money for the church, so I took out $10,000 and threw in $20,000. The doctor said, I too must confess, I'm building a clinic, so I took out $20,000 and I threw in only $10,000. The lawyer said, "Gentlemen, I am ashamed of you. I threw in a personal check for the full amount." You see, our treasures won't even make it till we're buried. Somebody is going to be after all that thing, all those things that you've given all that time for, all that effort for, all that worry and all that anxiousness. Somebody's going to get it before you're cold. Allowing earthly treasures to take the place of God in our lives actually block our entrance into the best that God has for us. There's a story in the Bible about a guy who's referred to as the rich young ruler. We read the verses about him a while ago. We don't know his name. He's just called the rich young ruler. And so one day he came to Jesus and he fell down in front of Jesus and he said, "Master, tell me what I need to do so that I can have eternal life, so that I can come into this kingdom that you've been talking about and this kingdom that you say that we can enjoy right now. Will you please tell me what I've got to do?" And Jesus says, "Well, what about the commandments? How are you doing there?" And he says, "Lord, I've done those since I was a boy. I've done those since I was just a child." Jesus says, "Very good. But one thing you lack. One thing you lack." Let me show you this verse in Mark 10:21. It says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor. And you will have, look at this, treasures in heaven. Then, come follow me." See, these treasures that this man had was obstructing his following the Lord the way that the Lord would have him to follow him. And Jesus says, "I want you to get rid of that stuff that's offending and blocking your following me, and I want you to give it to the poor." You see, the guy is keeping the commandments. He's keeping the commandments. It's not a commandment thing. It's a heart thing. See, in the new covenant, it's to deal with our heart, not with whether we're keeping the commandments. The guy was keeping the commandments. I'm sure he was a good person. I'm sure he had done a lot of good. But yet, his treasure wasn't the kingdom. His treasure was his money, his wealth. Here's what happened. Mark 10:22 says this. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." Now, I got you to open your Bibles to this passage. I want you to notice this. How hard it is for what? Read it. It's not a trick question. How hard it is to enter what? Heaven when you die? What are we entering here? The kingdom of God. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. That's the first time he says it. Then verse 23 says, 24 says, the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. He's emphasizing the entrance into the kingdom of God. See, what was happening with this man's wealth was stopping his abundance, stopping him from going into this dynamic position, the supernatural kingdom, where God takes us places that we've never been, shows us things we've never seen, and tells us stuff we've never heard. I mean, it's amazing when God does that for us. I'm telling you, what happens is wealth will stop us from doing that. And then he says in Mark 10:25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to do what? To enter the kingdom of God. See, Jesus desires that we enter the kingdom of God. And what happens with our treasures is they block our entrance into his kingdom, into his abundance. And a lot of times we think we're getting wealth when all the time we're just piling stuff up so that we can't get into where abundance really is. We start worrying about stuff that we shouldn't be worrying about. We start laboring at things that are just going to pass away, and we never really enter into what God really has for us. And it's not that God does not want us to have things. Hear me. It's that he doesn't want things to have us. There's a big difference. There's a big difference of my having things and things having me. Things actually stopped that man called the rich young ruler from having God's best, from having God's kingdom, and from having eternal life. Hear what the Lord says today, people. We've got to look at our hearts. Is anything hindering our entrance into God's best? Now, what is this kingdom of heaven? What is, you hear me talk about the kingdom of heaven. I've been talking about this kingdom of heaven for all these weeks on the Sermon on the Mount. But what is this kingdom of heaven? It is a supernatural dimension where we enter a time where we are taken by the Holy Spirit to see things that you can't see unless you enter the kingdom. Hear things you can't hear unless you enter the kingdom. And to do things that you won't do unless you enter the kingdom. It is a supernatural dimension where we spend time with God. It's the greatest thing that God has to offer us. You see, if God is able to get us into his kingdom, we don't have to worry about eternal life. If God can help us get into his kingdom, eternal life happens there. We can go and we can see even the deep things of God. Now, are you in 1 Corinthians, where I ask you to be, with your finger or something? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it's going to be on the screen for you, but I want you to see this in your Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 9, it says this, "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." Now, most people stop right there. And they use this at funerals and make it appear that this is what we get after we die. There's this heavenly place that we can go to. But I want you not to stop there. I want you to keep reading. I want you to see what he's really saying. But God, say that back to me, but God. But God has what? Revealed it to us by his Spirit. Listen, the kingdom of God is having God reveal to us by his Spirit things that you've never heard, things that you can't imagine, that are so incomparable that we can see them, and even the deep things of God. What is it that you need? God has it for you in his kingdom. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you're up against. I don't care what battle, what mountain you're looking at right now. If you come into the kingdom of God, you can speak to the mountains and they'll remove. I don't care if you need healing in your body and the doctors will say you're going to die next week. If you get into the kingdom of God, you have supernatural healing. You see, there is this supernatural kingdom that Jesus existed in, that He lived in while He walked on this earth. And it's there for you and me. And what happens is we allow treasures to stop us from experiencing the abundance of God. Let me tell you about this kingdom. What is this kingdom of heaven? What is this kingdom of God? Is it something that's going to happen one day? Or is it something that I can enter in right now and have a supernatural life? This is so important that we make this decision, that we understand this. Well, Jesus was asked that question one day. And I'm doing the NASV version this time. And in Luke 17:20, here's what it says. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when, say when the kingdom of God was coming. What was the question? When is the kingdom of God coming? Jesus answered them and said, the kingdom is not coming. Say that back to me. The kingdom is not coming. See, you don't know whether to say this or not. Jesus said the kingdom is not coming. It's not going to come with any kind of observation. It's not going to come with any kind of supernatural thing. It's not going to come with 7 years. It's not coming because why? The kingdom of God is in your midst. And if you're a Christ follower, who's telling that to the Pharisees? It's all around you, guy. It's in your midst. But if you're a Christ follower, it's not only around you, it's in you. It's in your heart. It should be your number one treasure. When you open up your treasure chest, when you open up that treasure box, what's laying on top? You see, if it's the kingdom, you have such abundance. You can hear things. You can see things. You can live a lifestyle that's so superior to anything that you've ever existed in or ever had done or ever experienced before. How does this work? Well, the supernatural kingdom can be seen. Let me show you this. John 3:3. Born-again experience is so that we can see the kingdom. John 3:3 says, in reply, Jesus declares, talking to Nicodemus here, you remember the story, I tell you the truth, no one can what? See the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Why are we born again? So we can see the kingdom. Now, how does that work? How do we see this kingdom, this supernatural kingdom? How do we see it? Okay. Do you know when you get saved, when you get born again, and it for a short period of time, it is the greatest thing since ice cream, right? I mean, it's the greatest thing, man. You're experiencing something you've never experienced before. You know, you're born again, you're saved, and man, this is great. And then all of a sudden, well, maybe not all of a sudden, but piece by piece, something begins happening in your heart, actually in your spirit, and you start wanting more. You know there's something more, correct? And you start looking for... You start what? Looking for more. How many has experienced that? I mean, you got saved, but then you knew there was more, and you wanted more. Raise your hand real high. Yeah. Say, you wanted more. What is that you're wanting? What you're wanting is the kingdom. What God is trying to do is draw you into the kingdom. He's telling you there is more. You're born again, but there is more. I want to show you more. I want you to see more. And so, something else takes place. In John 3:5, it says this. Jesus answered. See, Nicodemus didn't quite understand all this either, so Jesus tried to help him. I tell you the truth, no one can enter. Say enter. Enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. See, the supernatural kingdom can be entered. It can be seen. It can be entered. Now, how does this happen? How do we enter this kingdom? What is this kingdom about? It's a supernatural dimension. It's a supernatural place where we experience supernatural life and life and that more abundantly. So I've drawn this chart. Judy and I had this discussion one day this week. And so I drew this chart to kind of help us see an image of something that maybe I can help you with just a little bit. First of all, we are all born into a natural kingdom. It's called sometimes the kingdom of darkness. But it's the natural kingdom. We're all born into it. This is a natural birth. It's a natural kingdom. But then when we are born again, we begin seeing that there's more. There is this supernatural dimension. It is so large and endless that the Bible says there is no end. And so what happens to us is that we're born of water and spirit. And if we're born of water and spirit, then we can now enter that supernatural dimension, that supernatural arena. We can enter it. We can have it now. We can go into this supernatural dimension where there's supernatural gifts and supernatural healing and supernatural faith and supernatural wisdom and supernatural knowledge, where there's supernatural deliverance and supernatural peace and supernatural joy and supernatural abundance. It's where Jesus lived. He was walking on earth, but he was living in the kingdom. And the thing that hinders so many people from going into the kingdom is the treasure that's blocking the door, that's blocking that entrance. It's available, it's accessible, but we pile up all these treasures and we can't get around it or over it or through it. And so what Jesus is trying to tell us is that if we'll get our treasures right, if you allow me to use the word priorities right, we can enter into the supernatural kingdom. Because treasures will block, or treasures will open the kingdom. You know, I just told you the story about the rich young ruler. And a lot of times we end the story right there. You know, that he went away sad. But the story, the lesson of the story doesn't end there. Yeah, it did block his entrance. And the rich young ruler did go away. And Jesus said, you know, it's very difficult for a person whose treasure is wealth to enter the kingdom. He said, and Peter was so amazed at that. The Bible says that the disciples were amazed at what Jesus said. So Peter said, well, my goodness, who can get in? You know, if somebody with all this ability and all this wisdom and all this, if they've been able to accumulate wealth, then goodness, how do you get into this kingdom? And this is what Jesus said. This is first what Peter said and then what Jesus replied. In Mark 10:28 it says, Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel for the kingdom will fail to receive what? Fail to receive what? 100 times as much when? When? When is this available? Now, in this present age, King James Bible says, in this present time. 100 times. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields. And with them, persecutions. And in the age to come, what? Eternal life. You see, Father wants us to have 100 times what we have. Well, I don't care what you've got. He wants you to have 100 times more. And we're not going to get it by storing up treasures on earth. It only blocks us from getting it. What gets us there, what gets us 100 times more than what we have right now, what gets us there to where we really want to experience life is by having treasures in heaven. What is it that you need today? I want you to know it's available in the kingdom. I don't care how monumentous it is. I don't care what it is that you're facing. I don't care what kind of family situation. I don't care what kind of financial situation. I don't care what kind of health situation. I don't care what you're facing at work. I don't care what you're facing. If you're in the kingdom of God, you can have access to it. Now, I want to make sure we see this. See, the stuff in the kingdom is not for when we die. The verse says, in the next age, you can have eternal life. See, the next eternal life is for when we die. But houses, now think about it a second. When you die, what do you care about houses and lands? And am I right? See, He says, you know, if nobody, you get 100 times, you get 100 times now, houses and lands and mothers and sisters and brothers and fields, you get 100 times more now in this life. You don't need that when you die. When do you need it? Right now. And the thing that stops us from having it is the treasures that we use to block the door. It's for now. Okay. The local bank here in town has some of my treasures on earth. And if I go down to that bank and I want it today, well, maybe tomorrow, can I go and get it? Yes, I can. Why? Because it's accessible and because it's for now. And it's that way in the kingdom of heaven. Things that we are laying up now, the treasures that we're really laying up are for now. You can access them now. And it's a matter of treasures. Which treasure's on top? Is the kingdom of God on top? Are you seeking first the kingdom and His righteousness? Because if you do, as Terry said earlier, all these things will what? Just be added. It's not for when we die. Jesus says this, Matthew 6:20, but store up, don't store up treasures on earth, but store up your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. I want you to know that you're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. I know we have this dimension, this thought of heaven being out there somewhere when we die. Listen, I want you to know the kingdom of heaven is in your midst. I want you to know the kingdom of heaven is all around you. I want you to know that you can enter into this right now. See, it's laying up treasures that I can use right now. Houses and lands and cars and people and friends and relationships and health and healing and anything that I need, it's accessible right now. But there's two things that are required. John 3:5 says this, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. See, when we are born of water and Spirit, when we're born of Spirit and water baptized, we should begin looking for the kingdom and entering the kingdom. Because that's what all that's about. Something inside of us should want more and start looking for more. And we have access to this by these experiences. It requires water baptism, but not getting wet. See, a lot of people get wet, but they never really get water baptized. If you're truly water baptized and raised from in newness of life, and you're having a spiritual birthing, then all of a sudden, when you come out of that water, your eyes should be washed and clean, and you should be able to see the kingdom of heaven. The Bible tells us about Philip. And that one day, the angel of the Lord appeared to Philip and told Philip, he said, I want you to go down to Gaza. And so Philip went down to Gaza, and there he ran across this Ethiopian. He's called a eunuch. And this Ethiopian eunuch was in charge of all the treasures of the queen of Ethiopia, Candace. And Philip saw this guy. And he went up to the guy and he began talking to him about Jesus. And he began to talk to this Ethiopian. He began to talk to him about the kingdom of God and how you get in it, how you enter into it. And so the Bible says that they went down the road just a little bit further. And the Ethiopian says, listen, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? So Philip said, nothing. You believe? Yeah. So he got down off the chariot, went into the water with this Ethiopian, baptized this guy. The Bible says that Philip was translated away, but this Ethiopian went away rejoicing. Now, why was he rejoicing? He was rejoicing because he has entered the kingdom of heaven. He went away rejoicing because things are going to be changed in his life. And see, that's what happens when we really come into to the place of the kingdom of heaven, is that we should be rejoicing. We start seeing things we've never seen, experiencing things we've never experienced, going places in God that we've never thought, hearing the deep things of God. Now that's what the kingdom's about. That's what the kingdom's about. We begin to see like Jesus saw. Do what Jesus did. Did he not say, greater things shall you do than I did? We began to see like Peter saw. We began to have supernatural occurrences in our life where our shadow just passes over a sick person and they're healed. You go fishing. And you catch a fish and he's got a silver coin in his mouth. Say, that's going to really happen? It did for Peter. You do like Paul. You live this supernatural place where you're caught up into the third heaven. And you see things not speakable. You experience a life in its abundance. You speak to mountains and they must obey you. You speak to disease and it must wither and die. Come on. You speak to problems. You command them and they must obey. I nearly want to say, if you get far enough along, you can walk on water. But you really will walk on the waves of life. You really will walk on the storms of life. Listen, when you're in this kingdom, there's righteousness and there's peace and there's joy in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Spirit has revealed to us the deep things of God. And we can live in this shallow dimension. But listen, I want you to hear me. Jesus is inviting us to come into the kingdom of God in its depths. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. He's inviting us to come in and experience a life and that more, help me, abundantly. How's your life? If it's not in the kingdom, then you got a treasure there that's blocking your entrance. It's hindering you from experiencing the best of God. Matthew 6:21 says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Please leave that up there just a second. See, what happens to our treasure happens to us. The location of our treasure tells the story. See, no one can deny that if you took the physical heart out of my chest and took it in one direction, that I could go in another direction. Would that happen? Is that possible? Hear me what I'm saying. Open up my chest, take my physical heart out, take it over there. What will I do? I'm not going to walk over there. And it's that way in the spiritual dimension. Where your heart is, you're going to go. There's no options. Where your heart is, there your treasure is. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. They're inseparable. See, the rich young ruler's heart was found in the treasure of his wealth. That's where his heart was, in his wealth. Peter's heart was found in the treasures of the kingdom. The Ethiopian eunuch's heart entered the kingdom. He was baptized. He was born of the Spirit. And you and I can do that too. There's a supernatural dimension, and I promise you, if you'll do your part in seeking first His kingdom, God will do His part in helping you in everything you need. There is not one thing that you will not get if you're seeking first His kingdom and you need it. There is not one thing, hear me please, there is not one thing if you need it that God will not provide it for you if you're seeking first His kingdom. That is a promise from God. Here's what He says in Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom and His righteousness and what? All these things will be given to you as well. See, it's just an order of priorities. Is priority our treasures, our earthly treasures, or is our priority the kingdom of heaven? Because in this kingdom, there are things you've never heard, things you've never seen. God will take you places you've never been. He will fill your life so full. It's unbelievable. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Neither has entered into your heart what God has prepared for you. And He wants to reveal it to you by His Spirit. Even the deep things of God. The deep things of God. How many think that Jesus was pretty deep? Huh? He lived in this kingdom we're talking about. It wasn't a kingdom to come. The kingdom is not coming. The kingdom is in your midst. It's at hand. You can reach it and you can enter it. And in this kingdom is everything you will ever need. You can speak to things and they must obey you. You need a better job? Let me tell you, you have the favor of God on you. The Bible says you are crowned. You are crowned with glory and honor. And I know you don't see it, but there's a big crown sitting on your head. There is. You have the robe of righteousness. I know you think you're wearing a suit or clothes or whatever, but you really are clothed with the robe of righteousness. The angels can see it in the spiritual dimension. There's a big crown on your head. You're a king's kid. God the Father is your daddy. And what do you need? If you're in His household, if you're in His kingdom, you can have whatever you want. But you've got to have eyes to see it. And you've got to be able to enter it. And this is done by being born again. And then being born of the Spirit. And then being born of water. Making sure that we're properly baptized. You can decree things. You can speak to sickness. You can speak healing in your body or to the body of someone else. That's all in the kingdom. Supernatural gifts, supernatural abilities, and all these things, Jesus said, are added to you and given you in His kingdom. God wants to show us things we've never seen. Experience things we've never experienced. Go places we've never gone in God. He wants to take us places that we can only imagine. And it only happens in His kingdom. So let's get those wrong treasures out of the way. Let's get the right treasure up there, which is His kingdom. And let's enter in and let's have a big time in the kingdom of heaven. Is that all right? Is that all right? Give the Lord a hand. All right. All these things. All these things. Now, we never want to end the service. We never want to end the time together that we don't pray for people and we don't minister to people. So what is it that you need? Listen, I am in the kingdom. I promise you, I am in the kingdom of heaven. I live there. I see things. I see deep stuff. I love it. And I want you to also. And we all, there's people here that are in the kingdom. And whatever that it is that you need, I promise you, we can pray for you and you can have the abundance of God right now in your life. What is it that you need? We want to take time right now. We want to pray for you. I don't care if you're sick in your body. You come down here. We're going to speak to it. We're going to tell that thing to get off of you. Whatever mountain, what is it, the mountain, the problem that you've got in your life? We're going to command it to be cast into the sea. You got a family situation? You got a job situation? We're going to decree. You're going to get a new one. You got the favor of God on you. And God's going to do great things for all of us. He's going to do it because there is a supernatural kingdom that we're coming into. Hallelujah. So what is it that you need? Be coming right now. Let's pray for you.